People needing the Lord not too far from here, and thank the Lord for the opportunity to minister to some of those. I'm thinking of the folks that were on the buses this morning, and you got to find some folks that were in need of things. Maybe they got saved, maybe they're already saved, just needed somebody to love them, needed somebody to encourage them and show them Jesus Christ. What a joy. Well, I'm thankful for a lot of things tonight. Some things are simple, some are more complex. I'm thankful that somebody's on the job because they sound like they cranked some air conditioning on, because I was up here sweating, and I was going to say, I know what you're going to say, well, you had a lot of hot air for that preacher up there, but that wasn't my fault, because it was hot before I got up here, so somebody helped us out, some usher was on their job, and got the air kicked on, so I'm thankful to whoever you were, and we'll get started here in a little bit cooler fashion. Praise the Lord for that. Exodus chapter 3, we'll get started in our message tonight. Chapter 3, we'll begin at the beginning of the chapter. And I want to preach to you this familiar passage. When you get there, you'll know the story well. And God's going to show up to Moses in the burning bush. And I want to preach to you for a little while. Now, it won't be long tonight for lots of reasons. I don't want to wear you out on the first Sunday. Another thing is they're going to eat after church. And so that always helps me. If you ever want a short sermon, then just have good food afterwards. If we're having Jersey Mike's, that's always good. And but listen, don't worry about it. It's already past 6. Amy reminded me that I messed up on the time this morning. I didn't realize the time had changed on the clock back there. But it is 1 minute till 7. So any intelligent people have quit eating by this time. But Baptists aren't always intelligent, so we're going to have a fellowship right after the service tonight. Load you up, and we'll have a good time of fun and fellowship over in the Family Life Center. And so we're looking forward to getting to know and getting to spend some time. And so we will get out in good time tonight, so that we'll just have some time to fellowship around. I hope you're able to stay. If you can't stay for a long time, you come and be with us for a little bit if you can. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert." This is very familiar to us. "Came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." A difficult time for a pastor to have is to preach familiar passages because people know them so well. But I want to get into it tonight and trust that the Lord will help me now as we get started and preach from this familiar passage about this, what to do when you do see the bush. And none of us have seen the bush burn, I understand that. But when you come to a time in your life when you see God working and you know that something's happening, what to do when that time comes. I believe we can get some practical lessons from Moses. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And Lord, I ask you to do something tonight that's humanly impossible, and that is to take words and instill them and put them in the hearts of people. And so I pray, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God, you would take the message from your word to the hearts and lives of everybody that's here. May you change us, dear Lord, so that we might get what you have us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Some folks say that it was not unheard of for bushes because of the temperature and all the things around there to burn, but this one didn't burn up, and that was certainly not common. Perhaps Moses saw it and he didn't think much of it, because the Bible says in verse number 2, and he looked, and the Bible says, as he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. But as you notice that the bush continues to burn, and God kept the fire on until Moses looked over that way. You remember those commercials used to be on TV that Tom Baudette said he was from Motel 6 and he'd leave the light on for you? Well, I don't even know if Motel 6 is even around anymore, but that was their slogan, they left the light on for you. Well, God left the fire on for Moses long enough for him to get the picture that he ought to turn aside. And the Bible says something very interesting, and he says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And then verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, then the Bible goes on to say, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And so I think about this, that God left it on until they, or he rather, got the picture that he was supposed to look that way. And I'm trying to think, and I have to confess, that I believe there's been lots of times in my life when the Lord was probably trying to get my attention, and I was too oblivious to see it. Maybe I was too rebellious. Maybe I had my mind so consumed with other things. But I think you can sympathize, and I think you can identify with that and say, you know, I believe that's happened as well. I'm thankful that the Lord calls a second time sometimes. Aren't you grateful that the Lord came to Peter after he had denied him thrice, that he came and back to him even after he denied him? I'm glad that the Lord is gracious and he'll call the second time as he did with Jonah. And I think about the times in my life when I've not looked aside as soon as I should. But Moses, the Bible says, had the fire of God burning long enough for him to get the idea and get the picture and finally get it to click that he ought turn aside. And so I want to teach you some specific items that happened after Moses sees the burning bush. Number one, I want you to get this out of verse number three. Number one, I want you to see that he did, in fact, look aside. The Moses said, I will now turn aside. Could it be that God has tried to get your attention? Has he put that burning bush in your life and you haven't done yet like Moses has done, or I haven't done like Moses has done, and just stopped long enough to turn aside? One of my wife's favorite verses is this, be still and know that I am God. And I understand that in our day and age, it's harder than it's ever been before to just be quiet. If you've got young children in your house, this is a wonderful sound. You say, what sound? I know, that's the one. Yes, you like it, don't you? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. A young preacher was having trouble discerning what it was that he was supposed to do this next part in his life. And he had went to his mentor, his Paul, if you will, to Timothy, his leader, his trainer, his guy that God really used to light his fire. He was up in years by this time, and he had asked the old mentor what he ought to do. He said, I prayed and I just can't find what God wants me to do. And the old mentor, he said something, but the young guy couldn't hear it. And so he moved a little closer and he asked again. He said, what I'm doing is I'm having trouble discerning, finding out, figuring out what God wants me to do. And again, the old guy halfway across the room at this point said something, but the young man couldn't hear it. So once again, he moved a little closer. And this happened another two times till finally the young man is up to the mouth almost of his old mentor. And he said this as he got close to him and told him the last time that he was having trouble discerning what the Lord wanted him to do. The old man said, sometimes he whispers so that you'll get close to him. And friends, I know that none of us want to go through problems. And I know that we always want to hear the voice of the Lord loud and clear. We want to hear it like our fourth grade teacher that was so loud she could give a foghorn a run for its money. We want to hear God's voice like that. But oftentimes it's that quietness that the Lord speaks to us in. And I could tell you like that old preacher told that young preacher, sometimes God whispers so that we'll get close to Him. Why doesn't God tell me what I want to know? Maybe God's not got you close enough yet for you to figure it out. You know, if God told us exactly what we want to know the very first time we act, you know, our human nature would make us do? We would turn and run and not come back to Him until next time we had a dilemma. Right? And I know it's true in my life. If I didn't have those times when it seems like the Lord was silent and it seemed like that it wasn't getting through, if I didn't have those times, I wouldn't seek Him as fervently as I do or as prolonged times as I do. And so we see that Moses, what he does, verse number three, look aside. And as I said before, it's no wonder, it's no surprise anybody in this room, between your cell phone and your television and your iPad and your computer and the shopping mall and the car and the amusement park and all the parties at work and the everything else is going on. It's no wonder that we have a difficulty just getting quiet. But I tell you, one thing that our Christian lives need more than anything else is for you to get this book and get alone with God on a daily basis and get in it. Because this word is our food, our spiritual food. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we as Christians sometimes wonder why we're having difficulties, why we can't find out what we're supposed to do, why things are just running topsy-turvy, why things aren't going right. Could it be that we're not finding ourselves daily in this book? And Moses, as he sees the fire of the bush burn, he looked aside. Let me put it like this. We don't even lay in bed anymore when you wake up sometimes and just think about what you're going to do for the day, because the first thing oftentimes you do is reach for your phone and start checking messages. One high executive with AT&T years ago, when it was just coming more in vogue to be able to work from home or work from a remote location, and obviously all of our emails and all that come to your tablet and to your phone, your laptop. And this high executive said, the best thing about this work environment we've got is that they can get a hold of you anywhere. And he said, the worst thing about this new work environment we've got is they can get a hold of you anywhere. We can't get alone. And I'm saying this evening, that what Moses did when he saw the bush, he looked aside to see if in fact it was God. And I'm challenging you this evening, when the God starts ringing your bell or starts getting your number or starts knocking on your heart's door, don't just be oblivious and go on with the rest of life. Stop for a while and listen. Number two, not only did he look aside, but he also, the Bible says, he volunteered. Number four, if you look as we make our way through this passage. Number one, it says he turned aside, but number two, the Bible says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And then Moses replies, and he said, here am I. He volunteered. I think of Saul, the persecutor, who finally heard a voice from heaven when he got down, knocked down on the road to Damascus. He said, well, Lord, what will thou have me do? And I wonder if the average Christian has ever truly asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? We weigh things out so much. Well, I can't do that. I think about the bus ministry that I mentioned earlier, the workers that came early and got to pray with some of those this morning before they headed out. I think about that. I said, well, I could never do that. Not because you're not talented enough, not because you don't have the gift of gab, whatever it is that you think they might have, but for the time involved. I know that our lives are busier than they've ever been before. And I understand that it's hard to find time to teach Sunday school or captain a bus or work in junior church or do all of these things. But I still believe if we had a time, every one of us, if we still had a time of turning aside when he saw the bush burn, if we still had a time of turning aside, we would, in fact, if we really knew there was a meeting with God, we would surely turn aside and say, here am I. I don't know what you're signing me up for, Lord, but I just want you to know I'm up for it. It was a blessing to my heart. The week before we left the church in Ohio, a young man came forward and he wanted to dedicate his life to do whatever God wanted him to do. And so I asked him, I said, Elliot, are you asking the Lord, are you telling the Lord that you're just given a blank piece of paper and you're signing the bottom of it? Say, Lord, you fill in the top. He said, yes, that's what I'm doing. That's good for a teenager, isn't it? Might not be too bad for a 50-year-old. We'll say, yeah, it's different now. How is it different? Moses wasn't free of responsibilities at this point. We say it's good for anybody just to say, Lord, what will thou have me do? I believe there's enough workers in this church to do everything that God wants done out of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That's the good side. The bad side is a lot of us aren't doing it. We're like one old preacher. He got up and he said, listen, we got this building program. He said, there's good news and bad news. The good news is every dollar that we need to complete this building program is represented in this building. They said, amen, praise the Lord. Bad news is it's still in your wallet. I believe we need to have a time when we turn aside and we just say, Lord, here am I. He said, well, yeah, what if I don't like what he tells me to do? We're just going to have to trust him. Lord, I'm here. Here am I, Lord. Send me. What if I don't like where he sends me? Then we've got problems. We need to go back to the beginning. Because if we can't trust him to send us wherever he wants, then we don't trust him at all. Number one, he turned aside. He looked aside to see that God was working. And I challenge you, those things that we complain about, look at that stinking bush that's burning over there. It's bothering me. I'm afraid of catching a whole hillside on fire. Instead of that, just say, could be that God's doing this. When we have difficulties in our lives, when we have problems and we don't know what's going on, when we have strange occurrences and we think, I don't know why this is happening right now, maybe we should have instead the attitude that says, perhaps the Lord's using this in my life. How many of you have ever come up to a situation you thought it was the worst thing that happened in your life and come to find out it was the best thing that God had done in your life? He looked aside. Number two, he volunteered. And then thirdly, I see in verse number 5 and 6, he reverenced the Lord. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. He goes on to say, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He reverenced. I have had some times in my life when I simply did not want to leave what the Lord was doing in my time alone with Him. Meaning that I hated for other obligations to move in on me, that there have been sometimes not near as many as I would wish. But when you simply did not want to leave the presence of the Lord. You know what it's like when you're at Christmas time and you've got family members that you're well aware may not be there the next year, and how you just can't seem to tear yourself away. I wonder if we had that same feeling. We'll always be able to get a hold of the Lord, I understand that. But what it would be like if we had that same desire to linger and stay and just fellowship just a little bit longer when we're with the Lord in the morning. Instead of, like I saw one devotion, 365 one-minute devotions, this little book. Now I'm thankful somebody's going to give 1 minute a day. But I gave 1 minute, more than 1 minute a day to a lot of things that don't matter at all. And so I certainly ought to give more than 1 minute a day getting in the book of God. He volunteered, yes, but he did more than that. He just reverenced the Lord. And folks, you know as well as I do that we are in short supply of people who would simply give the Lord His deserved, glorified position. We've got too much talk about the big man or the man upstairs and these things. And I certainly have heard people say those things and they didn't mean it a bit irreverent at all. And so I always take it from where it comes. But we have played too slipshod with the glory of the Lord. He says He is the Lord. He won't share His glory with another. And as Moses looked aside and volunteered, says, Lord, here am I. Whatever you want me to do, I will. As he turned aside and he volunteered, he also just reverenced. Put your shoes off, Moses. You're on some holy ground. And I challenge you this week for you to get a time alone with the Lord so that you might have that specialty in that secret place with the Lord where you get His Word and you get your confessed self to God and say, Lord, I just don't want to leave either. He reverenced. I'm afraid that we as Christians, we preach so much about the people on the other side of these walls. We preach about the world's doing this and the world's doing that. And I understand that that's true. They are doing a lot of wickedness. And I'm more concerned about what we're doing. And I don't know that what the old timers didn't have something that we've missed and we're lacking now, where they were careful not to say anything that might be even the least bit disrespectful of their God. And so as we see Moses, as he reverenced the Lord, we see that he was that one that wanted to bow before Him. And so much so that at the end of verse number 6, it says this, he was afraid to look upon Him. I preached this morning about God, Moses wanting to see God. But when Moses gets a taste of it, it's about like that wonderful pecan pie that your grandma might make. It's so good you can't stand it. Curtis Hudson used to say stuff like that. Those biscuits were so good, if I'd got any on my forehead, I'd slap my brains out trying to lick it off. It's just like that when you get into the presence of the Lord. It's just too special. It's too much. And Moses says, or God says about him, he was afraid to look upon God. He reverenced Him. I watch some services, worship services, quote unquote worship services online sometimes just to see what the other side's doing. I don't know about the bombastic way that they come out and jump and dance around. And I try to contrast that with the way that the Scripture says that they come to the Lord God Almighty. And doesn't seem like something lines up. I'm not being critical of how they do it. I'm not. I'm just saying, honestly, as you look and you compare it with Scripture, doesn't look that that is this. So, do we long to hear from God? Let me conclude here just a moment. Another question or way to ask it is, not only do we long to hear from God, do we stop and look aside when He's trying to do something in our lives? How many of you believe, we'll take a little poll, how many of you believe that God wants to speak to His people? I believe He does. How many of you think that we listened as much as we should have last week? Can we put our arms down any lower than they are? And I'm not getting on to us. I'm minor down as well. We're so busy doing this, that, or the other. We're, as you know, as Daniel mentioned, we're moving stuff in Tuesday. We're camping out over there, and we thought we had all that we needed, but we don't have all that we needed. And you know, they find out what you don't that you need, and that is to not have it for about 7 or 8 days. Now I got deodorant, so you're all right. I mean, it's not like we got the basics. You know what I mean? But we're looking around trying to find stuff, and I say I can't find it. And he says, "The reason you can't find it, it's not here, dummy." So that's the reason you can't find it. But when we start looking for stuff that we know we can find, then the only problem or difficulty is if we don't look hard enough. Now, there's lots of reasons. As I said, there's a reason why I can't find stuff at our house. It's not there. But when we start looking for God, He says, "You'll find me when you seek for me with all your heart." So if I've not found God on a certain matter, if I've not found His will on a certain item, it's not that it's not there to be found. I just haven't given enough time to it. I think about when I was a kid, they used to have a slogan, the firemen did. They'd come into our schools, they'd come do this program, they called it Stop, Drop, and Roll. Well, I'm sure that's a wonderful thing, good truth to teach young people instead of running and infuriating that fire. But tonight, as I see Moses' lessons that he's given here, I'd say this: stop, surrender, which is what he did, and bow. In our lives, we need a renewed reverence for God. That doesn't mean we walk around chanting all day and saying, oh, you know, it's like some monk in a monastery somewhere. I believe that'd be a lot of hyped up things that weren't sincere anyways. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in our hearts that we have a desire to seek the Lord. I think about the men that were gathering to usher back there. I'm thinking, obviously, this is all new to me, the specifics of who's doing here. Think about that. I think about the teachers that taught this morning, the bus workers, all the things, and then the really labor-intensive work that gets done here by laymen, by volunteers. Nobody gets a dime for it. And sometimes people say, how are we going to get people to do these things? How are we going to twist people's arm to get on those buses? How are we going to twist people's arms to get out on Saturday and knock doors and try to find people? How are we going to twist everybody's arm? I'll tell you how we're going to twist their arms. We're going to shut them up to the Lord. Because I believe that the Lord's got the laborers He needs. He wants right here. We all just have to be willing to be as Moses was and say, "Lord, here I am." It's one thing to have a pushy usher that says, "Hey, listen, would you help us tonight?" But it's another thing to have an almighty God who comes looking for us. So what do you do when you see the bush burn? What do you do when you have a situation in your life that you believe God's trying to get your attention? I can tell you what Moses did. He looked aside, turned aside to see what it was. And then when he figured out the Lord might be in this, he volunteered and says, Lord, I'm up for whatever you're up for. How many of you understand, when you figure out which way God's going, you ought to get along. Good way to get run over if you don't. Used to be when I was a kid, seemed like our family never went anywhere. And so whenever anybody was going to town for any reason, I always liked to go. And my sister, when she got old enough to drive and she was going, or mom or dad, whoever, say, we're going to town. You want to go? Yes, sir, I'm in. Sometimes that got you into some work. Dad go to the feed store, do this, that, or the other. But it always worked out. If you went to any kind of good feed store, they also had some good candy over there, some chocolate-covered peanuts and things. I don't know what it is about feed stores in West Virginia, but they all had, you buy your feed, and then they had, Dad would get these long sugar sticks, and then I'd get chocolate-covered peanuts or something. So you always had a good thing come out of it. But whenever anybody was going to town, I was ready. We lived far out in the country, and didn't seem like we ever got in there. So I always thought, well, at the chance, we might be stopping at McDonald's, and I'm going. Whenever somebody was going somewhere. And so when you and I figure out that God's going somewhere, we ought to be just as anxious as I was as a kid to say, God, I'm going too. Not asking how much work is involved, not asking what we're all going to do, just, God, I'm in. I'm with you. Moses looked aside. He turned aside and volunteered, said, Lord, I'm going. I'm going. I'm coming. And then when he got there, he listened to the Lord as he said, put your shoes off, and he couldn't even lift his eyes up because he was reverencing the Lord. Stop, drop, and roll. I don't know about that, but stop, surrender, and bow before him. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to help us know what to do when we see the bush burn. And Lord, I believe, I cannot not believe it, dear Lord, that you're not working in the heart and lives of these people sitting in front of me. Lord, I believe it. You have not ceased working in the lives of your people. Your people are us, your people, sometimes we don't pay attention enough, but I refuse to believe that you've quit working in the lives of your people. And so, Lord, as you work in our lives, I'm asking you to burden some of my friends right here to look to see what you're doing. Be willing to volunteer with what you tell them to do, and to go together as we seek you in reverence and in holiness. Bless us, I pray, and we'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God has worked on your heart, then I ask you just in a few moments that you would come and do business with him. You say, I don't want to talk to anybody. You don't have to talk to anybody, but I challenge you to come. You say, I don't want to come to the altar. You say, I don't have to. You don't have to. That's true. But you know, some of the best decisions I've ever made, I made them at an altar before the Lord. And if God spoke to your heart, In just a moment, I want to invite you to come. Now, here's going to be the invitation. I forgot to mention in the pre-service, but I told you this morning, next Sunday is what we're labeling Membership Sunday. My family's going to join the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I know that there are some folks that they have just been putting it off to join the church here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But I'm challenging you, inviting you to come and you be newbies with us. You come and be new members with my family and I. And I'd like to challenge you, if you're haven't joined the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church yet, but this is your home. You call it your home. This is where you come. You believe God's put you here. If God's put you here, we want you here. In just a moment we stand, I'm going to ask you to come, and Brother Daniel will be down in front of the pulpit I preach from, and I'd like for you to say, Brother Daniel, I'd like to join the church. I'd like to present myself for that. We'll get you hooked up with a deacon so you can get a copy of the bylaws, and you have that affirm that you believe along with that, and get you to come and join next Sunday with us. Maybe you're here and you're saved and you've never been baptized. On the 22nd, the very next week, we're going to have Baptism Sunday. Oh, do you need to go to heaven? Not according to the Scriptures, but you need to be baptized to be obedient. and I'd like to come and have you come present yourself for that. Or whatever else the Lord is doing in your heart, I want you to be obedient, faithful to Him. And one last but most important, and that is, if you're here tonight and you're unsure of your salvation, you don't know if something terrible were to happen to you tonight and you died that you'd go to heaven, you're not saved. Again, Brother Daniel will be right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. We'd love to get someone to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. There's not one person in this building that would make light of that decision. Well, what will people think? I can tell you what they'll think. They'll rejoice. I've been coming for years. What would they think about me? They would say, praise the Lord. I hope you'll do business with Him. Father, bless us now is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as our instrumentalists begin to play? If God has dealt with your heart, would you step out and come? That several-fold invitation. One, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you've been having doubts about it, you're not convinced, you don't have that assurance, would you step out and come and let somebody take the Word of God and show you how you be sure heaven's your home? Brother Daniel's in the front, Brother Bob over here. Somebody be glad to take the Bible and show you how you be sure heaven's your home. Would you step out and come? As they just continue to play through a few verses, here again is my invitation to you. If you've God's been dealing with your heart to join the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you've just been looking for a good chance, here's your chance. Would you step out and come and take one of these men and just say, listen, I'd like to present myself for membership. Whatever God's dealing with your heart, as Moses saw the bush, Moses turned aside to see what God was doing. Has the Lord been churning in your heart already? Been churning in you to make that next step? Follow Christ in baptism? You've already got that taken care of, but to join the church? Would you do it? Would you come? As they continue to play one more verse, if God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Father, thank you so much for this time to be in your house and to get to be around your people, or to get to open up your book. Thank you for all of these wonderful blessings that you've allowed us to be involved in today. I pray for the rest of the evening that we could honor you in all that we do, all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you, if you didn't mind, to just indulge us a little bit, if you'd be seated. And I'm going to ask Brother Marty Scroggs to take the microphone, or you can be right there, Brother Marty, if you want, whichever. And just tell a few little things about what we'd like to do right now, a special time in Buffalo Ridge's church history.
Okay, I have talked to Pastor Herdman and Preacher Lastly, and we think it would be very appropriate for a preacher to pray over Pastor Herdman and pray for the church and as it go forward. So If anyone feels led to come and pray with us, we're going to open up this time of prayer to come and pray for Pastor Herdman this time. Preacher, you come ahead if you'd like.
Let me say this. I appreciate the deacons. You don't know the hours and hours they've spent in seeking God's will for the pastor of this church. I mean, they spent many hours, and they prayed. And sacrificed, and God honored all your work, gentlemen. God honored with them bringing this good man of God.
Amen. Okay. All right. Let me see. If we have any other deacons, y'all come on up here. If there are any other, and men of the church, you don't. The rest of you don't be shy either. Ain't none of them got the coronavirus, so you haven't been to China, have you? Okay. All right.
Sit down.
Yes, sir.
Father, we thank you for all of the work the deacons have put in there in seeking God's man for this church. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for this good man of God. He's preached two good messages today on the presence of the Lord and doing the will of God. And Lord, we need your presence. We can't do it without your help. And I pray for this good man. Thank you for leading him here. And I pray that you'd fill him with the Holy Spirit. I pray the sweet Holy Ghost would rest upon him. Lord, you blessed me down through the years in my ministry. I couldn't have done a thing without you. It wasn't me. It was the Lord working through me. And I pray that you'd work through this great man. You've sent him here. I pray that we'll back him, pray for him, love him, help him, and, Lord, get involved in the work of the church here, and bus captains and Sunday school teachers and other choir members and anything the preacher asks them, I pray they'd be willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. So bless his dear wife and children. You've given him a good wife and fine family, and we pray the mighty hand of God would rest upon him. I pray, oh God, I pray you touch him. We need a touch from God, oh God, and give him a great ministry. Keep him here for many years or until the trumpet sounds and calls us out of here. And we thank you for him. Lord, we already, you've put a love in our hearts for him and for his heart to want the presence of God upon his life and upon his people. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a blessing to be in God's house tonight, and it's not over, and that's the wonderful thing. In just a moment, we'll all be dismissed if we're done with everything else, and we'll all be dismissed. I do have just a couple announcements for you to help you with the reception to follow. I do, before I say that, I have an apology to make. I forgot to dismiss the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, so if you have a 3, 4, or 5-year-old and they were with you the whole service, sorry if that was a challenge to you, but they got to enjoy the service as well. And so sorry about that, but we didn't want to, once it dawned on us, the message was already going, and we obviously want to give priority to God's word, and so I didn't want to interrupt there. But that being said, if you do not have a child in here with you, but they are on the property, make sure you pick them up before the reception, and that the nursery, they want to enjoy it too, and so just make sure you stop by there. And as you go into the gym, and I hope you're able to come over there, here's just some basic things. Number one, start with one sandwich and one dessert each, and that will be a wonderful thing to do. It is cheesecake, and so I know that a lot of you will jump all over that, and I'll avoid it. And so, somebody, you can have mine, but you'll have to wait till you've had your other one, and it's been a long time. Okay, number two, we are having, as I said earlier, Jersey Mike's subs tonight, and so looking forward to that. There will be a condiments table available, and so the condiments will be on separate tables from where you pick up your sandwiches, and so just make sure you find those. We'll have the coffee, water, and tea are going to be served as well, and this one's really important. There is a gluten-free table with a veggie sub on it, and so gluten-free and veggie all kind of together for those who have allergies and restrictions in that way, and so that if you see Becky Roten, you're at the right place to find that. But those are for the people who need them. There's just a select number of those things. And so make sure if you need that, you find Becky Roten. She'll be able to point you in the right direction. She'll probably be standing right there. And then make sure you head to that center table and greet Pastor and his family. And I know that he'll want to see you as much as possible. Spend time just at least saying hey to you. And there's a basket there to put cards and things in as well. And so, parents, just a reminder, watch your kids while you're in there. And we'll all be watching everybody's kids, but make sure you keep a special eye on yours, and that'll be a very, very wonderful thing, all right? Well, Pastor, I'm going to dismiss you and your family, and that way you guys can make it over there before everybody else. And I'm going to pray and pray for the food and pray for our pastor and pray for just a good week. And as pastor gets things in, reminder to the men, if you're able to help on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, there are some blue cards out on the Welcome Center. And you can pick one of those up with the address and my number if you have any questions about it. Pick one up even if you're not sure you're going to be able to come. That way you can at least touch base with me. And any visitors that are here tonight, you can drop your visitor card off in that same place. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for a great day in church today. It's been wonderful to be here. Lord, thank you for all that you have done. Lord, even just today, people who have had their hearts touched and people joining the church and one this morning getting rededicating their life to you. Thank you for blessing just today. And Lord, I pray for great blessings to come, and I rejoice, we rejoice with all the blessings that we've experienced as a church as we have gone through this journey together. Father, I pray you'd bless the reception that we have. I pray for our pastor and his family. Truly, Lord, I pray that this day would be a wonderful memory for them, that this reception would be a great time. I know they'll go home tired, but Lord, I pray that they'd go home refreshed in the same way. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless the food to our bodies, bless the fellowship we have together, and bless this week. Bring us back safely together on Wednesday and the next Sunday. Lord, we love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You are dismissed.